welcome to today's episode of The Alex Konings Show with your host, Alex Konings, dissecting only the most important news about the most important people. Joining us today will be Alexandra G. Konings, and we will talk to her about her newfound quest to save the world. She will join us after a brief message. This is 21L015 Public Radio, part of the MIT Public Broadcasting Corporation. MIT Public Radio is sponsored by ISNT, Corrupting Stellar, One Mind at a Time. Welcome, Alexander. It's a pleasure to have you here. I hope you are prepared for a good grilling. Of course I am. And thank you, Alex, for having me on your show. This should be interesting. By the way, feel free to call me Alex. So, are you ready to talk about your calling to save the world? Now, don't make fun of me. I mean, it's not like I had God's voice talking to me at any point in time. I mean, I understand that all of this sounds suspicious, but I promise that I'm somewhat normal.
You sound embarrassed. That's because I am, to a certain extent. I guess I'm not as experienced and hardcore as your average environmentalist out there, so I feel sort of odd about declaring myself wanting to save the world. I mean, idealistically, it would not be embarrassing for someone to say they want to make an impact in the world, and for someone to say that they almost have a vision of a different world. And when I say vision, I mean the vision I inherited and adapted from Daniel Quinn. But, like it or not, I still feel like there is some sort of pressure on my shoulders to just want to go through life, wanting to make lots of money through a minimum number of work hours. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love making money, but that's not what really matters to me, and I feel sort of unusual because of that. Hopefully I'm not, but I still feel odd declaring it. I mean, why is that? What do you think people are going to do? Laugh? I don't think anybody here would laugh at me in the face, but I do know people whose eyes you can sort of feel rolling in their head, rolling their eyes when you tell them about environmental problems. I've actually been cut off and dismissed by one of my friends in the past. She claimed I was being overly apocalyptical. I guess it says something that she was one of the few people I've ever had a really serious fight with. Still, don't you feel like it's a bit arrogant to want to save the world? Well, if I don't do it, who will? Do you really believe no one else is qualified? Look, I'm sure there are very many people who can do a much better job than I can at probably just about anything out there. But that doesn't mean that I can't do my part. And who knows, maybe I'll even inspire someone important. It's the whole pay it forward concept. It may be cliche, but that doesn't mean that it's not true. I guess it sounds reasonable. But how do you think you're going to change the world with a physics degree? Well, that's a really good question. I suppose I'm doing my part through the environmental group on the MIT campus. Ah, yes. Inspiring two more people to recycle will really prevent all future environmental problems. No, I mean, me saying that was just kind of a precursor leading up to my climactic point, if you want to be literal about it. I really do have a point, though. I'm actually thinking about switching my major to environmental engineering. And how is that going to help? Well, it will reduce our environmental impact on a much, much larger scale. For example, I'm in the process of getting a Europe with Donald R. Sadoway. Donald R. Sadoway, huh? He doesn't have a middle name? Well, he refused to ever write it out. I like to think it's Ronald, just because Ronald would be such a funny name. Ronald Sadoway. It makes me think of Donald Duck for some reason. Okay, but we digress. You were talking about Sadoway's research. Indeed, Sadoway's research, when finished and if it's adopted, will do wonders to the titanium purification process. No toxins will be released in the environment in this process anymore, and it'll be much more direct, causing less fringe waste on the side. The titanium industry is huge. Okay, you sound like you're advertising something, but that's besides the point. Nevertheless, the bit of research I did just now shows that Don Sadoway works in the Department of Materials Science and Engineering. Last time I checked, environmental and material science were two completely different words. Well, actually, one's a phrase. What was that?
pang of pain. At any rate, there is no beeping way that I can major in material science. Nor should I change my major just for one person's research. Okay, so you agree with me, but you're still not making your point. Why change your major to environmental engineering? I mean, isn't trying to engineer nature a bit arrogant? It's not like we humans don't act pretty arrogantly towards the rest of nature to begin with. We go against all the principles of animism. You have a religion? Animism isn't really a religion in the practical sense of the word that everybody thinks of when they hear it. I found out the best way to explain animism is to simply quote Daniel Quinn, who, as is often the case, is the one to explain it best. At one point he writes, and in this case the protagonist is talking to her 8-year-old son. Quote, "The people I learned the law of life from, Lois, are the people who actually gave the law that name, the Ilhalmiut Eskimos, who lived in the Great Barrens of Canada, inside the Arctic Circle. Theirs was a strange life by our standards, but its strangeness makes it very easy for us to comprehend. The Ilhalmiut were the people of the deer. They were this because deer was what they lived on." A bit later, he finally gets to the animism part. "They never have to explain who and what they were to their own children, but if they did, they say something like this. We know you look at us and call us men and women, but this is only our appearance, for we're not men and women, we're deer. The flesh that grows on our bones is the flesh of deer, for it's made from the flesh of the deer we've eaten. The eyes that move in our heads are the eyes of deer, and we look at the world in their stead and see what they might have seen. The fire of life that once burned the deer now burns in us, and we live their lives and walk in their tracks across the hand of God. This is why we're the people of the deer. The deer aren't our prey or our possession. They're us. They're us at one point in the cycle of life, and we're them at another point in the cycle. The deer are twice your parents, for your mother and father are deer, and the deer that gave you its life today was mother and father to you as well.
Okay.
Since you wouldn't be here if you weren't for that deer."
I have a different question for you. Let's change the topic slightly. What's wrong with simply trying to change the very fabric of society? Wouldn't that have the biggest impact?
Well, and you were telling me that I was being arrogant earlier. I mean, if you're looking for arrogance, it's right there.
But simply put, I just don't feel ready for it. I try and reason with people one mind at a time, but I don't think I have the skills for more than that in the changing the way people think and live area.
Okay, but you do reason with people. What do you tell them?
Simply put, I tell them to read The Story of Bee by Daniel Quinn. That'll make them think far more than I ever can.
Well, I would hope you just reach a large audience saying that on the air. I'm afraid our time is up for today, though. Thank you, Alex, for joining us.
It was my pleasure, Alex. It was... well, I like to use the word interesting for such things.
That always happens when you try to do a parody of something without meaning to go all the way, Alex. But I'll take that as a compliment.
We'll close our segment today with a brief clip from a song called Change the World by the group Sunspot, based in Wisconsin. It's the last track on their album Radio Free Earth, and showcases this new and upcoming young group that has gotten nothing but rave reviews.